You're listening to The Profile.
Welcome to The Profile podcast. God calls us to use our influence to share his love and goodness. For some, this is in leadership. I'm Andy Peck, and for the past 19 years, I've been interviewing Christians to find out how to lead better. Taking the initiative isn't always easy, so I hope you'll benefit from this latest conversation. The Profile podcast is brought to you by Premier Christianity magazine. Subscribe today and get full online access and the print magazine every month at premierchristianity.com.
The Leadership Show with Andy Peck.
It's great to welcome you to the show that supports and encourages Christians who lead. Most would agree that leadership can involve casting a vision for those you lead. But I wonder how well you cast a vision for yourself. What might your future as a leader look like? How might things change in the role you have, or maybe in the role you aspire to have? I'm delighted to be joined today by Arit Eminway, MBE. Arit is an award-winning talent management and inclusion specialist. Her work involves helping people look to a better future. She's also a mum, having guided her daughter through to her mid-20s. And so on this Mothering Sunday, we will also be looking at the key leadership role that mums provide in raising the next generation. So welcome, Arit, to the Leadership Show.
Thank you for having me.
Talent management and inclusion specialist. Unpack that for us and explain how you came to be it.
How I came to be, it was a natural progression. So people usually move into talent management through a kind of traditional HR route.
Okay.
But mine was through more entrepreneurship. So I used to work in film and TV.
Right.
As a kind of new producer and script developer. And my side hustle, as it was running an internship program that helped people to kickstart their careers in film. And so I really enjoyed doing that. So I guess I ditched my producing projects and started to do a lot more in that space. And that evolved into Diva Apprenticeships, which was an apprenticeship training organization which supported young people to kickstart their careers in film, TV, and music businesses, from organizations as big as Universal Music, the BBC, CNN, to small creative businesses. And it was a mix of apprenticeships and paid internships that we did. And then in 2020, I was ready to do something different. So I started the year wanting to sell my business, and then the pandemic hit. And I was right time, but it, God has his own plans, and it was the perfect time. So I merged my apprenticeship business with another organization, and alongside that, I launched my consultancy business, All Things People and Talent, because I was getting more inquiries from my clients to create workplaces where to empower, develop, and support their managers to adapt to this new way of working, to become much more inclusive. So if Diva was about helping people to kind of get jobs, now all the work that I do is working with organizations to create workplaces where individuals can essentially realize their full potential, because that ultimately helps organizations make money too.
Sure, sure. And was there someone in the past that you helped that kind of got you onto this path?
Not really. It was more a case of I've got some money. It was, I was asked to, I was actually working for an organization at the time. They were called the Film Council. And I was about to be made redundant. The Film Council, they're now the BFI, and they invest in film production. And I was about to be made redundant. And my boss at the time said, oh, why don't you, there's this woman called Judy Coonahan, her name was, and she had raised all this money to help diversify the film industry. And so she had some money to for projects to be delivered. So he said, go and speak to her. And as a single mom, and I didn't have the luxury of just being a producer. I needed a regular income. And so Judy was like, yes, come and help me launch these programs. And so I designed the graduate fellowship program, and I ran in Time Shift, which was a program to help moms job share their role on film production. And Judy was very hands off. And so she was kind of, here's the money, do something with it. And within that umbrella, if you want, I got to learn some of the skills that would, that really helped me set up on my own. So when I finished it, Screen Skills, I then took that project with me and set up my own company and ditched all my film stuff and just focused on that. And then that morphed into apprenticeship. So no, it was more, you're going to be made redundant. You can do your film producing stuff still, but you need to also go and find a job to be able to fund that. And so that's how I started.
Well, that's no bad reason.
Oh, it's not.
Not at all, no. And I introduced you as having an MBE, Arit. So what was that for services to?
It was for further education in the creative industries, which always makes me laugh because I did absolutely rubbish at my GCSEs. Yeah. It was ultimately for health and, you know, apprenticeships. Although anyone can do an apprentice, can do an apprenticeship right up until a couple of years before you retire, to be honest. Our focus was on young talent. So people from like 18 to 25 were our core apprentices. So I always think at that age, I did not, I left school with rubbish GCSEs. So it's funny that that's what it was for. I mean, I went on to go to university later on and stuff and do my master's, but at school, I wasn't particularly academic. So, yeah, it makes me snigger to think that it was for helping people get qualified.
Well, well done. And I guess that's just different learning environments suit certain people, don't they? And some people flourish when they've left what you call state education. Now, when people come to you looking for help, Arit, do you have a kind of standard approach? Do you take them through something like Myers-Briggs or StrengthsFinder or DISC or something like that?
I am DISC certified, but generally the people that come to me are organizations. Now I do get some individuals come, but largely it's businesses, and those businesses can come to me because they need support developing their leaders and managers. It could be to coach a member of their team. It could be to design some training, whether it's around inclusive leadership or kind of inclusive recruitment. So it's generally those people that come, and the questions are I like to know more about their people development strategy and where this piece of work sits within, what's the problem they're trying to solve, and to really co-create. So I don't do like off the shelf training because each business is different. And as much as I like the work that I do is about making an impact. So I want to look at how whatever this piece of work is aligned, how it aligns with your values, the company's values, how it aligns with their broader talent development program, how it improves inclusion within the organization. So it can be anything from strategy to facilitating away days and or leadership coaching. So it's really varied. As long as it's about helping people realize their full potential, then I'm like, okay, is that the end goal? Is it going to make an impact? And is the business going to be better because the people want to stay there?
And are leaders typically good at managing their own careers, do you find?
That's a really good question, actually. I think if I think about when I started running my business like seriously, and I figured, okay, this is not just going to be a side hustle. I'm going to do this for real. I learned on the job in most because I had a service, if you want, that I wanted to take to market. So I learned through doing, and a lot of those in my network who run their own business learn on the job. But over time, you do realize that the level at which your organization grows is directly linked to how much you grow as an individual, as a leader. And so that's usually the point where you can start investing in yourselves differently, whether that's through courses, and some people go through MBA programs, where others might do something less formal. It might be through coaching, finding a mentor. But that shift doesn't always come naturally either, because a lot of leaders, especially those that I work with now, get caught up in the doing, the day to day. So they don't really have the time or often the bandwidth to lift their head up. Some don't see the value in training and consider it as time away from the business, which couldn't be further from the truth. I think everybody's career, and I say this to anyone, whether you're looking to lead lead a department or an organization, or just lead yourself, because, you know, leadership starts with self. You need to have a development strategy, career development strategy. I think it's selfish to have ambition. I don't think it's kind of selfish to be strategic in your career either. But ultimately, when you invest in yourself as a leader, then everybody grows, everyone benefits.
Sure.
That's a very long way to answer your question.
No, that's okay. No, and clearly the CVs are part of it. Interviews are all part of it. I've heard it said that a CV gets you an interview, an interview gets you the job. I don't know if that's the kind of thing you subscribe to.
A CV gets you an interview gets you a job. I've never heard that before.
Well, this is what I understood. Yeah,
I've not heard that saying before. A CV definitely gets you a foot in the door, so long as you can continue to solve the problem that CV, that job relates to within the organization. You're making impact and you are being developed, because what, you know, with AI now integrating itself within our workforce in a very rapid way, it's even more important to invest in your skills, because your skills are, you know, skills become out of date quite quickly. So I think AI is bringing lots of opportunity for businesses and the way we do things, and it can certainly take care of some of the gridgy parts of our job, the admin heavy parts of our job, but then it leaves you with space to think about what else can I do, or, you know, how can I extend my capacity. And all of that requires you to embrace learning as a lifelong experience, not just something that you do when you're in school or you're at uni, or when you know, you're on a particular course that takes you off the job. We are learning every day. And I think remaining curious is what helps you develop your career within an organization or beyond one particular organization. But yeah, the CV maybe creates an opening for you, but then it's up to you once you're in there to really make an impact.
Okay. And there'll be people listening who are at that stage of wondering about a move, either within the organization they're involved with or to a new one. Do you have any kind of tips as to how they should be thinking, what they should be doing to work out whether it's going to be a good idea or not?
Oh, gosh, that's a podcast in itself.
Ah, okay. Sorry.
No, what would I say? I mean, there's a saying, and I don't know who said it. I heard it by a minister called Mike Murdoch, I think, where he said, restlessness is your future begging your feet to move. So I always think it's a good sign when you're thinking, what's next for me? One of the quick exercises, let me put it that way, that I get people to do if they come into me for coaching and they're at a crossroads, is to go somewhere quiet, where you won't be disturbed, at least for the next 20 minutes, and just close your eyes and just think about what it would look and feel like if you were to wake up tomorrow in a career or role that you enjoyed and that you are very specific. So think about the kind of company you'd be working in, the people you'd be working with. Would you be working hybrid, remote? Would you be in the UK or abroad? Are you working for a large business or a small, like, charity? think about the hours, the commute, and focus as well on how you feel. And you just write, note all of that down without interruption. It's not about money or connections or anything like that. It's just like, allow yourself to visualize that. And then when you've got it all written down, then on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the highest, rate where you are now from where you want to be. So say, for example, I might rate myself a 5 out of 10. I always ask myself then, why are you not a 4? Because when you ask yourself why you're not a 4, you then start to think about all the good stuff that you've got to a 5. And then I think, okay, so what would it take for me to get to a 6? And that 6 can be a small action. So say, I don't know, I'm working as an exec assistant and I want to go and work. Where do I want to work now? I want to work as a project manager. Then I think, okay, so I've got a lot of organization skills. I've got great communication skills, written skills, but I might go and Google the event, like getting a job description for events management. And then I will start to think about what skills am I missing. So my one point to get from a 5 to 6 would be to go and maybe I need project management skills, for example. So I think, okay, so where in my current role can I get that experience, or can I get that experience through volunteering, either in my church or within my community? Like I always say, start with what's in your house, a bit like the lady with the vessels, the one with the vessels, start with what's in your house, because there's always somebody in your network, in your workplace, around you who can help you take that next step. And then you just rub and repeat and you keep doing that. But it's always just about that small step that you can take. Like, it doesn't have to be massive. If you're thinking, I really want to work for myself, but I don't know where to start, then just go out and start to attend some networking events with other business owners. So you start to learn about, oh, what it needs to start a business, how they found their clients, etc. So start small, but, you know, just check in. And if you're someone and you can't think forward, then try it the reverse. So imagine yourself at like your 100th birthday. And you're being celebrated by all your friends, family, people you've maybe worked with. What would they be saying? What did you do? How did you make them feel? And do the same thing on that rate, that scale. Because the former, the future, often helps people connect to the doing. And the looking back can sometimes help people connect to their core values, what makes them tick. And so you just find out, how am I aligned? Are my values still aligned in my current role? And you start to ask yourself those kind of questions.
Oh, that's brilliant. Thank you so much. And I will give people the details of your website, because you have some of these little podcast snippets, don't you? Giving advice, yes, to people. So, we'll make sure people get connected.
Yeah, I'll send them to my YouTube channel, actually, because there's loads of resources on my YouTube channel about building a career. You can enjoy there's a particular like little, not course, but selection, playlist.
Brilliant. Well, that's excellent. Good. Well, we're going to move on, Arit, to being a mum. You mentioned being a single mum in the course of one of your answers, and it's Mothering Sunday. And it's not an officially church festival, but it's good to celebrate the key leadership role that mums ideally play. So how do you find your leadership role? You may not have thought of it as that, as your daughter was growing up. Was it particularly easier or harder at different stages?
I think it was probably harder in the beginning when I was a new mum, because I had my daughter, I was quite young when I had my daughter, and at the time it was like the late 90s, and church was a bit judgmental to single moms especially. So I think one of the scriptures that really helped me to kind of connect with motherhood in a way that was outside of that traditional, you know, you're married, etc., was Genesis 21:14-19. And it's when Hagar, she's out in the wilderness with Ishmael, and she's run out of water. And she thinks Ishmael is going to die, and she distances herself from him. and she hears the voice of God. And I'm paraphrasing, so I don't have the scripture up, but God essentially says to her that I can hear the boy crying. And so that just reminded me that even because I felt very much like I was in the wilderness in those early years of motherhood, that one, that God heard the voice of my child. So that for me really helped me to teach my daughter about speaking to God because he will hear, and that he responds with provision. So in those wilderness times, he is there with you. You're not alone. So that really helped me think about motherhood in a different way, that I wasn't alone.
I'm a dad to two boys now, both in their 20s. I was told that you need to transition from command and control to guide and suggest. I don't know if that was true and what age that was for your daughter.
Yeah, for sure. You can't parent the same way. Season at all. No, I think the running thread is you have to be a safe place for your children. You have to be the anchor that they can return to over and over. But yeah, it takes different approach for different seasons. Yeah, I think I became more when she started secondary school. I think that's when I gradually moved from management to a senior management role.
Right.
When she went to university, I was most certainly the CEO, and then. When she graduated, I'm definitely the chairperson. So I'm not the hands-on manager that I was when she was younger, for sure. I think you do have to adapt. It comes back to that question about vision. What kind of a relationship do you want to have with your child in the long run? Because I hear a lot that people, especially when their children are young, they refer to their children as their best friends. I'm like, you can be friendly and you want to build a friendship with your child, but you still are the parent. And that relationship, that friendship, it changes. Do you know what I mean? As they get older and they become more mature, so that when you do become the chairperson, like my daughter, I can say, is my friend now, because I don't parent her, and I'm not required to parent her in the way that I did when she was younger, because I have to make some decisions that you're not going to think are sure. Friendly. But they need to be made. So there's boundaries, I think, around your relationship.
And did you find the kind of work-home balance a challenge, particularly as a single mum?
I don't think there's any such thing as work-home balance. I think you're on a seesaw. Sometimes you're really bossing life and you're doing really good at work, but you might feel that you're not doing so good when it comes to parenting. And then other times it's the other way around. So it's this constant kind of seesaw, but that's okay. I think that's just life. It's about in those times when I'd feel like, oh, I'm dedicating more to work, for example, I focus more on the quality of the time that I had with my daughter and not the quantity. And setting some boundaries, like for me, it was also, I have to be able to take her to school until she got to secondary school and she could go herself. That was my non-negotiable. So right. I think having those non-negotiables, you know, we want to eat dinner together at night. That's a non-negotiable. So it's about having some non-negotiables around your parenting. But I mean, if somebody has achieved work-life balance, then I'm happy for them. But I see it more as I was on a seesaw.
Well, fair enough. And I think probably there's a stereotype of everyone getting on smoothly when actually most, as you say, it's a seesaw. And that such is life. And children will rock and roll with that, won't they?
Yeah. I think it's just about being transparent and being honest. And I used to always say to my daughter, you didn't come with a manual, and I am learning as I go along, and being open. And if you've done something wrong, apologize for the fact that you've done something wrong. Show your humanity, I think, is important.
Final question would be any books, resources that you found helpful along the way, either in terms of your work with developing people's talent or being a mum?
I think my first stop and one of the lessons that I learned early in my journey as a believer was to know the word for yourself. Like your pastor should build on what you learn. should not necessarily be your only source of learning. So I think that's the first thing, is to get into the word. Secondly, book-wise, I read Kahil Gibran's The Prophet.
All right,
I was learning. Yeah, and that really taught me about that my daughter wasn't mine to keep. I was a vessel, and that really kind of shaped the way that I parented. Joyce Meyer's Battlefield of the Mind has helped me personally and professionally. Joe Dispenza, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, is a really good book because it digs into neuroscience and how your brain works and retains habits and how to kind of reprogram your mind, if you want. And then business, one of my favorite business books was The 50th Law by Robert Greene and 50 Cent.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. I really appreciate those tips. Super. Well, it's been great to chat with you, Eret. And, you know, exciting to think about all the people who are listening who are going to go off and spend a few hours in the quiet trying to work out what the next stage is going to be. So excited for that. And I'll in my outro, I will share a little bit about how people can get you to the YouTube clips and discover a bit more to plan their careers. So thank you.
Perfect. Thank you for having me. I've enjoyed the conversation.
It was a great joy to chat with Eret Eminwe. Eminwe is spelled E-M-I-N-U-E. And you can go to her website, indeed her YouTube channel, How to Design a Career, and you can get more information on that very topic. And she recommended a number of books. Kahil Gibran, Prophet. That's Kahil, K-A-H-L-I-L. Gibran is G-I-B-R-A-N. A book from 1923, first published. A Battlefield of the Mind, Joyce Meyer. Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself is Joe Dispenza, D-I-S-P-E-N-Z-A. A more scientific book. The 50th Law by Robert Greene. All books that Eret recommends. You can also, of course, get content on leadership by going to the Leadership Show's archive. Go to the Profile app or website, type in the Leadership Show, or more particularly the Profile, and it comes out as the Leadership Special. Or go to Apple, Podbean, or Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from, and type again in the Leadership Show or the Leadership File, and you'll get hundreds of former shows that you can gorge on to your heart's content. So this is Andy Peck thanking you for joining us. And if you're a mum, a very happy Mothering Sunday. May God bless you as you lead those within your family.
The Leadership Show with Andy Peck. To get in touch, email andy.peck@premier.org.uk.
You've been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity Magazine.